ask me about trips, and I often find a little succinct phrase for the trip, which is the teaser for, if you want any more information, you have to ask me some more questions. If you don't ask me any more questions, I'm not going to like try and shove it down your throat. So my phrase for the Zambian trip was that it was a profoundly humbling experience. I mean, profoundly humbling experience. And I should also say, if you're one of these people that is really, really awkward about men crying, I've just got to tell you that you may feel awkward unless you can give that up and listen to the prophetic word tonight. You need to give that up. Okay? Stormin Norman, as he was called, who's the first, he was the number one general for the first Iraqi war, was apparently being interviewed in something like CNN. And this interview went along the lines where they started to ask him about his experience and what it was like, and he started to fill up, and he tried to sort of hold it back, and the interviewer said, General Schwarzkopf, Norman Schwarzkopf, are you afraid of crying? Are you a man who's afraid of crying? And he goes, his reply was, I'm afraid of men who don't cry. Which I thought was, yeah, that's a good one. So, please, I haven't managed to tell any of these stories without completely and totally losing it. So I've come back from Zambia, emotionally fragile, not as an emotional wreck, but just emotionally fragile, sensitized and raw from my experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, usually that sort of settles as time goes on. I hope I never recover, but that's the reason why. So please don't start to read into it and wonder what's going on. Just receive what I am going to communicate tonight. The Zambians are a gentle and gracious people. They talk, and I can't do the accent. Collins does a great African accent. But when they greet you, they often greet you if they identify you as pastors or whatever. They go, men of God. That's how they... So Dennis and I are saying, they come on, men of God. And then when they shake your hand, to the extent at which they show reverence, they put their hand up their arm. So if they, and they tend to, they're not being timid or anything like that there. It's just very gracious. And you're standing there going, oh, like. And then when they feed you, they have a tradition that the guests always get fed first. So in Africa, you know, people are obviously hungry. And when we had our second conference, we provided lunch for them. And there's like a queue, like. And then, no, you're the white boys, and you know, you come and you jump the queue, and you get served, and they all get served food as well. Yo, what? We're dead? This? Okay. So the new cordless didn't last too long then. So I was already feeling pretty sensitive at that stage. As the time went on, then it got worse. So tonight, what I want you to receive is an impartation onto transformation rather than just about information. Okay, so it's not necessarily the content, although I hope you'll receive the content as well. But I want you to receive an impartation. What's an impartation? An impartation is, I've got something of the Spirit, and I'm going to give it to you. I can give it to you by the laying on of hands. You can appropriate by faith. But as I talk, as I communicate, if he's doing something in you, receive it. Yield it to it. Let him touch you. Let him get you. I hope to communicate this message with passion, but more than that, I want to communicate it with compassion, gentleness, grace, and love of the Father, which is very, very heavy upon me. It says in Proverbs 25:15 that a gentle tongue can break a bone. Or in other translations, it says gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses, breaks the bone of resistance. So I would encourage you tonight to have a faith-filled expectation. Let it arise that you can be released into more freedom, into a new level of freedom tonight. So just to, in case you're going, hey, this is pretty heavy tonight. That's not the way I want to communicate, but just to lighten things a wee bit. Freedom. What does freedom mean to you? What, and there, you don't, yeah, you use that. Work away. It doesn't work? Okay. Hey, it's all going well tonight. Freedom, Nelson Mandela. It was actually the 11th of February 1990 when he walked down that road out of the open prison to freedom. Any of the oldies watch that on TV Live? There you go. There you get your badges there. All right. People go, what are you talking about? I just remember him with the rugby jumper on in the World Cup or whatever. So that's a like iconic image, political image that has gone around the world about freedom. There's commercial Jeeps, the company Jeep, doesn't sound like saying Jeeps. Jeep, the car manufacturer, and lots of merchandising. Their strap line is "Live without limits." Lots of advertising is, if you get this thing, you can be free. And that can be anything from toothpaste to toilet roll to really fancy cars, but you can be free. Sport. Anybody know what that is? So that's the, yes sir? It's the Rugby World Cup. It's the Webb Ellis Trophy. Now, just work with me here if you're not into rugby, okay? So in 1991, on the 20th of October, Ireland were playing Australia in the quarterfinals of the World Cup, just like they're going to do tomorrow, right? At Lansdowne Road, which is now called the Aviva Stadium, right? 4 minutes to go. Ireland are in their 22. They run along the line. Guy Grubber kicks it along. Campese, who was like just tearing the place up, I think he's the all-time greatest try scorer in the World Cup, cutting lines. He sort of stumbles a wee bit. The guy somehow gets the ball, pops it to Gordon Hamilton on the halfway line. Gordon Hamilton breaks through the tackle. Gordon Hamilton is free. Gordon Hamilton is going to go to the corner. Campese gets up. He's a speed machine. He can't catch him. He stops running through the 22. Gordon Hamilton's going into the corner. The other wing catches him. And he scores in the corner. And the whole Lansdowne Road goes absolutely mad. My best man was there. He said he actually thought he was going to die from a heart attack. 3 minutes to go. The kick from the side, he slots it. There were 15-12 down. It was supposed to be a bloodbath. Australia were supposed to wipe. So 3 minutes to go in the quarterfinal of the World Cup, Ireland are winning 18-15. 18-15. We're going to the semi-finals. But there were 3 minutes left. But it was a great 3 minutes till Australia came back down and scored in the corner. But the freedom when Gordon Hamilton broke that tackle, just amazing. Next one, we've got films and entertainment. Very, 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 very strong theme. From Free Willy to the... Anybody? Shawshank Redemption. Very good. To Braveheart, because he has the line. You know, he says, I'll not do the action. I fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. But dying in your beds many years from now, would you be prepared to trade all those days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell them that they can take our lives, but they will never take our freedom?
Come on.
Church. So I was at the Zambian release conference, not relief concert conference, release conference. So the African Zambian Association of Churches officially became free. They were under the oversight of South Africa, and at that conference, the pastor, who's a spiritual son of Dennis, Damas Kamfa, was getting commissioned as the national director of Zambia, and Zambian Association of Churches became effectively free. Okay, it was a fantastic celebration, as only the Africans can. Just a great celebration. So that's another form of freedom. My personal freedom when I think of freedom, I think of this wee man. This is my grandson. He's called Noah. I call him Noah. But when he gets his kit off, before he's going to go to have his bath, so he's in his bedroom, and the bathroom's across the hall. You put him down like one of those, you know those cars, wing, 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 and then you set it down. And you go, phew. So he goes butt naked across the hall, and he's crawling like mad, and he goes, ah! He's just as free as he can be. No nappy, no nothing. He's one happy, happy camper. Images of freedom. So what does the Bible have to say about freedom? Well, in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So what I want to communicate, that freedom is not about me. It's not about my felt needs. It's not about prosperity, lack of burden, lack of stress, etc., etc., etc. That freedom is about being free from Satan, being free from self, and being free from the world. And in that being free from, the freedom is to love, to know, to enjoy, and to serve Jesus. It's all and always about Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So what we're thinking about, contemplating, being imparted tonight, is about freedom in the context of being free with Jesus, connecting to Him. So, what are the promises regarding experiencing God for freedom? And the first one is the Jesus Manifesto. Luke 4:18 to 21. He stands up in the synagogue and he unrolls the parchment and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Second promise is the transforming freedom journey from A to B. John 10:10a to John 10:10b. "The thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." Or in other translations, "Abundance till it overflows. Real and better life that you had never dreamed of. Have and enjoy life." So John 10:10a is where the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy. But John 10:10b is the opportunity to, rather than experience fear, to experience fullness. Rather than to have a limited and restricted life and connection with Jesus, to have abundance till it overflows. Having a life without Christ being a reality, to having a life that is real and better than you could ever have dreamed of. The negative, the depressing stuff, the discouraging stuff, the hopeless stuff, have and enjoy life in Jesus and by His Spirit. A third promise could be Galatians 5:1, the purpose and the stand. We've already done that. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. The freedom to love, know, enjoy, and serve Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18. The process of transformation. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And oh, did we touch that tonight? I haven't experienced very often, but it wasn't quite, but I was almost at the point of going like, who's speaking tonight? It's like a freedom from thought, concern, awareness of who I was, where I was, what I was doing, just being lost in His presence and the freedom that brings because the Spirit is here. Verse 18, and we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So experiencing the Holy Spirit is an encounter with and in freedom. And we do so with an unveiled, self-disclosing transparency. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's the pastor of Liberty Church in Dublin. Okay, and when you go up the stairs, there's this 6x3 mirror just propped against the wall. So as you come up the stairs, you see yourself. Right? As a whole lot of reminders, one of them being that if you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not a sinner, you're a saint who saves. In relation to, well, how am I doing as a representative of Jesus Christ? How am I reflecting His presence and His reality in my life? So as a result of being unveiled, self-disclosing and transparent, we begin to reflect Jesus' image and glory. And it's in a process of transformation. The important part of that being it's present continuous tense, which is we're being transformed. It's a process. We keep going at it. So when we're thinking of John 10a, John 10b, it's not about being fixed. Although at times when we receive ministry or a touch, we can have something sorted out. But it's about a process. And sometimes it's baby steps. Sometimes you can feel that you're just in a storm and you're simply trying to hold and brace yourself. But you're just moving forward. Sometimes you get thrown forward or grasped by the Spirit and pulled into a greater place of freedom. But it's a process and it's a journey so that we become more like Jesus by His Holy Spirit. So get this. These are promises from a faithful God who cannot break His promises. Okay? So get your feet locked into that truth. Okay? These are promises from a faithful God who cannot break His promises. It says in 2 Timothy 2:13, He remains faithful. He cannot disown Himself, be false to Himself, deny Himself, depending on what translation you read. These promises are from a faithful God who cannot break His promises. So, if they're on the table, they're on the table. Right? If they're promises, He's faithful, and He cannot disown Himself, He cannot deny Himself, they're on the table. So, what are the problems regarding experiencing God for freedom? Because I'm sure, I may be wrong, maybe the very younger people who are not really into reading their Bibles or the older people who sort of, oh, so stop doing that. I'd be surprised that anybody didn't know any of those promises that I read out there. The other stonking promise from John 8:32 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, how's that going for us? Promises on the table. See that thing about him being faithful? Because I'm not sure. We've all got experiences in different parts of our life and our walk with the promises. They're on the table. We just have problems being able to pick that up. Now it says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So what's the disconnect? Well, the disconnect is that it's not our reality. So there's a disconnect from His cannot break promises and our reality. Because although we might have a knowledge of the truth, it's only knowledge and it's not an intimate, or it talks in the Bible, the Greek word gnosko, which is about knowing. The same word that's used for when Adam knew Eve. Intimate. Oneness. That the promises run through your veins. That you own them. You just don't have a knowledge to them on the table. You are locked into the fact that He is a faithful God. He makes promises and He cannot. He, I mean, it's not that He won't. He cannot. Because then it all falls apart. He can't be the God that he is if he breaks his promise. He can't. He cannot. Now, I have issues. I have difficulties. But that baby, I ain't giving up. I am locked in that. It runs through me. I don't know what's going on. But I know we worship. You're faithful. You're a good God. And I am loved by you. I've got that one too. I'm not going to, despite how much I might mess up and mistakes I might make, I am loved by God. I have that one down. How's it going for you? How's that walk to freedom? Where are you in this journey from A to B? Perhaps I have faith for the possibility that somebody somehow found themselves in here and going, what am I doing here? And you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that's the first prerequisite to being connected and being that journey, that you are spiritually born again. It says in Jesus says in John 3:5, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. I mean, a spiritual new birth. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it's the way. He is the way, the truth and the life. But you want to get a hold of that. And if you're one of those people here tonight, I would really encourage you to get connected with the Savior of the world and the one that can give you life and life in all its fullness. Not everything happy and I've got my car and all this, but a life of knowing Him, being loved by Him and serving Him in the freedom of John 10:10b. So if there is a disconnect, we do not have a full and abundant reality of Him. If our reality of God is not consistent, it produces a cycle of diminishing expectation. Less experience, less expectation. Less experience, less expectation. Less experience, less expectation. Which is why I haven't been to over 20 nations of the world and every culture of the world. There are many churches of the body of Christ, and this is not a criticism or a judgment. This is just a reality that they will tolerate an environment where they meet together and they do not experience the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. No experience, no expectation. So they'll turn up and they'll not experience the manifest presence of Jesus Christ, and they'll go home week after week, year after year. So that cycle produces a diminished, depleted, and dimmed reality of Him. And it produces a void that has to be filled with something, because there's a part of us that we need to fill that. And the most common way that we fill that is through another spirit, and that most common spirit is the spirit of religion, which can, and to paint a generalized picture, can be from a head, knowledge, theology, understanding of the application of Scripture and what it says, but don't really know the author. To the other side, where it's an emotionalism that precedes the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's all fluff and noise and excitement, but he's not there at either extremes. And we fill it with the spirit of religion. So the weak spirit, disconnected from the promises and freedom available, is then dominated by our soul man. I'll have a wee time out here. I'm going to quickly give you an overview of that. If you've been around for when Dennis has been here, he's got an understanding of that, an application of that, that's filled into our language of our ministry and all that we're doing. So in Hebrews 4 verse 12 it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. If it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So the Word of God separates and identifies the trichotomy being, that's the three part of who we are, so that we can connect with Him spirit to spirit. So we've got spirit, we've got soul, and we've got body, or in Hebrews 4:12, joints and marrow. So the spirit consists of three things. The conscience. We know what is right and what is wrong. So if you go to tribal peoples all over the world that have never had any sort of philosophy or anything like that, they know about killing, they know about stealing, they know about adultery. It's in them that they have a conscience. Intuition, just something that you just know because you know you haven't been told. Communion with God, the ability to know God and connect to Him. So that's the spirit. The soul is made up of the mind, that's our knowledge and thought, the will, volition, and choice, and the emotions, how we express feelings and relate to each other. And then the third part's the body, bones, and blood. God is spirit. You all know that. But do we know it? Do we have a gnosko knowing of it? God's spirit. So why am I trying to think my way into a better relationship with Jesus Christ? Why am I trying to feel my way into a better relationship with Jesus Christ? Why am I doing that? Why am I trying to set my will to get into a better relationship with Jesus Christ? Spirit. We connect. We are made to connect spirit to spirit. God is spirit, and our spirit can only access the spiritual. Our soul can only access the natural. And so the spirit of man needs to get integrated with the Holy Spirit, spirit to spirit, small s to big s to small s, whatever way it might be. The spirit then becomes the boss, the CEO of who we are. We connect first spirit to spirit. The soul man, the soul gets into place. He subordinates himself or herself to the spirit man or woman, and everything's fine and dandy. We start to pick up pace. We start to go towards John 10, 10a. We get more freedom and more experience of that. But as we all know, that it's not quite as simple as that. But our spirit gives us God conscious, and our soul gives us self conscious. It's really important you get this, right? We want to be connecting spirit to spirit. Not in our soul. Soul has an important part to play. We're not saying we kick the soul out, but we've got to get it aligned. The spirit wants to connect to us spirit to spirit. So the weak spirit, disconnected from the promises and freedom available, is then dominated by our soul man. And the disconnect and subsequent soul domination results in us becoming soulish and subjective. And our soul needs and appetites influence our perception of the truth, and we submit to the lies of the enemy and the lies of our world manifesting in various forms. And this list is not exhaustive. We are unworthy. It's on the table. There's a promise on the table. We are not unworthy. Christ paid a sacrifice for us if we're in Jesus Christ. We are worthy. You can argue, well, I don't deserve it. Well, that's an opinion. That's maybe a feeling. But it's not the truth. Truth is that we are worthy because of the sacrifice that Christ paid for us. We are, in essence, sinners. That's who we are. That's what we are. We are sinners. If we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, spirit to spirit, we have become a new creation. We are not sinners. We're not sinners. We're saints, being changed by the presence of Jesus Christ and His renewal in us, spirit to spirit. But we are saints who blow it, mess it up, say things in anger, make mistakes, do stupid things, do things. There's nobody in this room who, if you could sort of run a film of their life, wouldn't go, oh, did I really? Oh, just wince. But we're saints who sin. If you're getting that, receive it. We're saints who sin. We can make it on our own. We're self-sufficient. I don't have to let the guard down. I can make it. I can do it. I'm all right. And so we let that lie. Think you'll find says in promise on the table, John 15:5, that apart from me, you can do nothing. Keep going forward there in that self-sufficiency. How's that working for you? I don't feel I'm relating very well to God and stuff like that there. Because that's not what's going to set you free. because you're not connecting spirit to spirit. You're letting your soulish perception of things distort and let lies arise. And sometimes the conclusion of all that stuff is that we are disqualified. We are disqualified from the possibility of receiving all that's available for us. But fundamentally, with all that, we are deceived, which can manifest itself in ambivalence or a false positive reality, which basically goes like this: not bothered. I'm doing all right. You know, it's like, doing all right, just not bothered. Or the other one is, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. Absolutely, oh, super good, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's a false positive reality. Your life is a mess, it's a disaster, but when you get in the church, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, everything's going good. Fine, not bad, good. It's clearly, there's a lack of freedom then, and it's clearly, it's not the reality. Okay, moving on. What are the processes regarding experiencing God for freedom? We need to develop something, some spiritual intelligence. What does that mean? Well, we're aware of emotional intelligence, which is defined as the ability to identify and manage your own emotions and the emotions of others. So it's the ability to gnosko know, to know that we are connected to spirit, and let our spirit be CEO of who we are and what we do. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But whoever is united with the Lord, one with him in spirit. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. We can have it. We can own it. We can go in that process of getting connected with him, and then we will understand. The promises, gotta get this, cannot and will not be embraced by the soul. And the simple reason for that is because they're spiritual in nature. The soul can't get a hold of them. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Now, we're not necessarily just talking about someone who's not saved. We're talking about someone who's trying to feel it, to think it, to will it, to get connected. But it's not going to work. Because for it to work, the spiritual truth to work, we've got to connect spirit to spirit. We must let the spirit man be our CEO and keep our thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And in that process, we deny our soul man and let his appetites die. Matthew 16:24. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Ladies and gentlemen, the cross is a symbol of death. You're going to take it up, something's going to die. That's the way it works. That's the package. We've got to deny ourselves and let us be connected spirit to spirit. And remember, we're not alone, because the Helper is there. We encounter the Holy Spirit for freedom, for the love, the gnosko know, to enjoy Him and to serve Him. And what does the Spirit bring us? Listen to this. This is what Jesus says in John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, to be with you forever. You connect with Him, you connect spirit to spirit, and you start to move faster and faster to freedom. If we could just plug ourselves in the way these amps are plugged in, if we could plug in completely that, we'd be flying across that spectrum at a rapid rate of knots. Testimony. Dylan Rumble. What a name. Dylan Rumble. South African. Third generation gang member. Spent time in prison for drug offences. Is probably one of the top five most charismatic people I've ever met. When he starts to tell you, he's been saved for 16 years. He's telling you his story, and it's like he got saved yesterday. He's just can talk to anybody, talks at length, but incredibly engaging, calling you. When we were talking to him at the table in the conference, he said that he lived his life by three pillars. before he got saved. Fear, anger, and violence. And when he got saved, because that was so entrenched in him, so ingrained in him, when he was going to church, he was actually in church, saved, and he was thinking about killing people. I mean, literally, killing people. Because that's the way he was wired. And the reason why I'm using this example is because people are going, well, you know, I really struggle with some things. I find it really difficult. This guy's killing people. This guy served time. He's in church. Can you imagine? I mean, I know we've gone, I could really kill him for saying that. But we don't really mean it, right? But what he was communicating was, he does really mean it. He's in church, and he's thinking, in his soul, I'm going to kill all these people. Because that's who I am, that's how it works, that's how I roll. That's how I rumble. Right? But it was just a very, wow. So what he had to do was, he had to deconstruct those three pillars, as he connected spirit to spirit. Because the soul man was so corrupted and so changed by his experience and environment as he grew up, third generation heritage of the pillars of anger, violence, and fear. Thank you. But perfect love casts out fear. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. And he got transformed. It can be done. God is faithful. He is a non-breaking promise keeping God. So this spiritual gnosco truth cannot be accessed by the soul. You can't work it out, choose it, try to feel your way to make it happen. Alright? You with me with that? You getting that? Does that make sense? So, well, how do we do it? Dead simple. Not easy, but dead simple. And it's the present continuous tense again. We ask for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11 from the Amplified says, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives. And he who keeps on seeking persistently finds. And to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? This will result in three simple but not easy things. One, we deny our soul man, connect spirit to spirit and become with one with him, and he increases and we decrease. So as we go on that journey from A to B, we get less and he increases. And as we submit in faith and obedience, we release the spiritual truth of James 4:7 on the table. Those of you that really feel stuck down here, James 4:7. It says, if we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. So that dragging us back and we're trying to keep, I'm not that bad. I'm not that unworthy. I'm not, you know, I have a sort of self-esteem. And you're getting dragged in this direction. You turn to him and go, I am worthy. You're a good, good father and I am loved by you. He can't touch us. He can't get his hands on us because we're not interested. Talk to the hand. I'm using the dynamic of James 4:7 and I'm getting to a place of John 10:10b. And as our God reality increases and the need to fill the void with the appetites and temptations of our soul man, Satan and the world, they diminish. And as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things are added unto us. So finally, we're nearly there. Punchline's coming here. You'll like it. Trust me. You okay, everybody okay? Stay with me. All right? What is the produce regarding experiencing God for freedom? It renews and refreshes our gnosco knowing of his presence and life and fruit it produces. John 6:63, it is the spirit that gives life to flesh. I think that might be the soul. Profits nothing. John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man or a woman or a person remains in me and I in him, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nada. Zit. It's a promise. I connect. I remain. Spirit. Spirit. Whoa. We receive His power to become more like Jesus and maturing. Ephesians 4:13, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And we receive the power to become His witnesses. Now, here's a good example of knowledge and knowing, right? Excuse me. Read something when I was away. So you've got the apostles of the Lamb, right? Spent 3 years with Jesus, the best mentoring from the best mentor you could ever have, best teacher you could ever have. 3 years, right? So they're connected. Right? They're connected. They've been around. He'd been around Jesus as He walked on earth, right? He's been pumping out teaching. It says in at the end of Luke that all the libraries in the world couldn't hold the books about the stories of Jesus, but we just got the highlights for you in this book, right? They were exposed to that, right? So they knew the stuff. They got to do the stuff. They were connected with Jesus. So they're apostles of the Lamb. So what happens when Jesus goes to heaven? Nothing. Wait. You wait until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. Or as I sometimes call power, because it's not Northern Irish power, it's the kingdom of heaven, Holy Spirit power. So they were equipped, they were trained, but they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not in, it's not going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So, at this conference, the South Africans, great bunch, like generally, culturally speaking, a charismatic bunch of people, right? No, that's a punchline. Thanks, it's alright. Charismatic bunch of people, right? And tell all these stories about how they've travelled all over Africa, slept in tents, and all these stories. But the one thing that marks their investment and their effort and their sacrifice, particularly to the Zambian people in the context of the conference, was that they were locked in to knowing that without the Holy Spirit, without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just a waste of time. Just wasn't going to. It really struck me. These old war horses. This guy's like 77 in shorts. He looked about 67. And he's sleeping here and he's sleeping there, as in camping out and doing all these, telling all these stories about these incredible journeys that he's taken. And you're thinking, my goodness. But locked into the Holy Spirit's power. So, with this, I'm going to close. All right? You can put that up. So, in the summer of 2002, in August, I received an email letter from a Mayamba, Jeffrey Kulatela. This is what it said in the back of the email letter. His address was Kabwe Maximum Security Prison in Zambia. To this day, I have absolutely no idea how he got my name and he got my address. Writes a letter, and Africans are very Pauline in their language and their rites, so it's, you should get calmly this bit, but, greetings in the great and glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us from our sins and calls us to eternity when we die. And it's like, you know, a couple of paragraphs like that. Then he starts to tell the story. Sentenced to 16 years in prison now, still today, in the UN list of, civil rights and human rights. Zambia is I don't know if it's a red or whatever, but their standard of prisons is very, very poor. So he had written me a letter. He had been in at that stage for about 6 or 7 years. Right? So my soul is going, as I stood with these two guys, like, where did that come from? Where did they get the address? My spirit's going, although I wouldn't have used that language at the time, I'm going to write to him. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? I'm also in my soul going, this could be a scam. So, you know, he used to be trying to rip me off here. So I'm going to reply to him, but I'm not. And I had a friend in South Africa communicating with her about, you know, how do you know this is a scam? How do you know? But I feel drawn just to reply to him. Right? So I replied to him. We had a few exchanges. So In the 10th of March 2003, Dennis Bourne is in Fisherwick. He says, anybody wants to come to Zambia in 6 weeks' time? That's a human being's connected. Maybe. And he also mentioned about the fact that he planted a church. There's a connection there. So that was maybe a little seed that as I, not liking Americans, not liking travel, said yes to the invitation and then proceeded to go on this incredible trip which changed my life and is a result of why you're sitting here. But his letter was part of that. So as part of that trip, I decided, and Dennis released me, to go to Kabwe Maximum Security Prison, give this guy some money, talk to the translator who was taking me with a taxi driver, asked him to, what do these guys need? And sort of things I wouldn't expect. And what would they eat? Well, you know, if you can get it, it'd be great. Like chicken and chips. Those are like a equivalent Zambian KFC around the corner. So, and you know, it's like about half an hour to the actual prison. So I'm standing there with a bag of basically toiletries, some money which I was going to give to the guy who's a translator because if he gave it to my Amba, it would have got stolen, and a taxi driver in the blazing heat in front of this big wrought iron gate which said Kabwe Maximum Security Prison. Right? Gracious, bizarrely dressed prison warden comes up. She's female. She's dressed in 1948 colonial army gear. She's got a khaki hat. She's got a khaki shirt. She's got a green tie. She's got a green woolen jumper. She's got a khaki skirt. She's got woolen socks up to her knee. Standing there, very gracious, and then at one point she raises her voice, because we're going, like, you know, come all the way from Ireland, you know, like, give us a break, you know, and so it's all going through the translator. And she raises her voice, and the translator goes, she said it's a maximum security prison. And I looked at the taxi driver, and I looked at the translator and went, okay, fair enough. And that was it. That's the closest I got to Kabwe Maximum Security Prison. Right? So, about 36 hours before that, he had written me a letter because I hadn't been in communication with him because I was going to Zambia to try and meet him, to say that he was desperate, that he was so sad and distraught that I hadn't written to him. He was desperate. He was losing hope and he needed something, right? That was what I returned to on my desk when I returned from that trip. So I wrote him a letter and said, within the almost 24 hours of you writing the letter, I was standing at Kabwe Maximum Security Gate trying to get in, right? And at that point, again, something in our spirit connected. I just knew, although I couldn't articulate why, that I was supposed to support him in some way. So I would have written him letters, tried to get him some money, and then when he got out of prison, his sentence was commuted after 10 years, right? And he got out. During that time, when he was in prison, this seed started to grow in him about being connected to the prison service, trying to help other prisoners as they got out. So when he got out of prison, he formed an NGO, a non-government organization, got funding from different countries like Finland, set this effective NGO, 7 members of staff, has them going in and training people and the women in sewing, the men in car mechanics and things like that, so that when they get out of prison, they have a chance. They have hope. They have a possibility. He has people working in the courthouses and in the police stations that they can connect them to the families, because the feeding there is so bad that if the family doesn't know where the person is, they can have real serious difficulties. And on Wednesday, I got to meet him. After 13 years. So, my soul man's going, I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be like. I don't know what this is going to be like. Unfortunately, I spoke to him on the phone the day before, and he was seemed quite bright, so I thought, oh, well, there's a possibility that this might go okay. So, I was called out of the conference because the pastor, Damas, had his phone number and they were communicating. And he came towards me and we embraced. And we hugged and then we melted into each other. And in that moment of melting into each other, I got a revelation. Spirit to spirit, which was that even though, although I was faithful and fairly regular in my contributions to him and letters to him, that I had actually saved his life. And at that same moment, I got this revelation from God that if this is what I can do for him, then how much more does the Father want to minister to us, want to touch us, want to bring us to a place of freedom? So Dennis was standing there. He's going, this is profound. So he went to the bar for a drink. 2 Fantas and a Coke. And he didn't know the story, so I got him to tell the story. And as he was telling the story, he was telling the story, and he said, without Andrew's assistance, and he broke down. I mean, he just broke. And when he broke, it was like everything in me knew. And I was telling my dad on the phone today, and he's going, you must be very satisfied with that. It wasn't the cell in my body that was satisfied with that. I was just broken for him, broken in this revelation that God loves us so much. He wants us to experience that sort of grace and favor that can touch and lead people into a place of freedom and into a place of life. That's what's on offer tonight. It's not about being emotional. It's about being real. It's about getting a revelation of the Father's heart for you. And by the Spirit, and by conversation, and by just observing your lifestyles of people in this room. I don't mean tonight, I've been observing your lifestyles, but I know there's a number of people here that I'm in a relationship with. You know, and I know, that you're not as free as you might be. Issues of offense. Issues of unforgiveness. Issues of unforgiveness towards God and what he's done and how your life's turned out. Issues of unforgiveness towards yourself. If we want to live life in all its fullness, if we want to produce fruitfulness in our life, we've got to give this stuff up. We've got to let the Spirit of God come and connect with us. We've got to let the revelation of the Father's love for us, that I love you, I'm a good Father, and you, my children, are loved. You are loved by me. So this is an opportunity not of getting things fixed from the point of view of everything will be fine and dandy. Your circumstances will completely change. But an opportunity to experience the Holy Spirit. Because when we experience the Holy Spirit, when we connect with Him, Spirit to Spirit, all the promises come to life. All the promises are real. Because I'm holding on to a God who will not and cannot break His promise. And I don't know how this is going to work out, but you've promised me life in all its fullness. So I'm going to hang on. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to connect Spirit to Spirit. And as I do that, I get a revelation of Him, His love for me, His grace that is all sufficient. How are you doing with that one? Grace is all sufficient. It's all sufficient. It's not slightly sufficient. He doesn't take a day off on a Monday. He's there all the time. He's all sufficient. So if in our relationship with Him there's a disconnect, rather than be asking God, what's your problem? Be asking yourself, why am I disconnected? I'm disconnected because my soul man, my soul woman is going, well, you know, he's letting you down. It's just not working out the way you hope to. Connect Spirit to Spirit. Will you stand with me, please? And could you just remove it? So, what's on offer tonight? What the Spirit is serving. And I would encourage you, whatever the Holy Spirit's serving, it's the Holy Spirit. That list from earlier that I read, from John 14:16. This is the Holy Spirit, who is a helper, is a comforter, is an advocate, who's an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and a standby. If he's serving anything, you want to get it. You want to receive it. What he's serving tonight is a release. A release of freedom to more. And if you want more freedom, and a release to more freedom, and you want a revelation of the Father's heart for you, the Father's heart for you, the Father's heart for you, not for other people in the room, but the Father's heart for you, to receive that love from a good, good Father that will bring freedom and release. If you want any of those things, then I encourage you, just come out of your seats, come forward. We're going to worship, and then we're going to engage spirit to spirit.